It is Thursday, March 21st. This is the Christian Commute. I am your host, Seth Dunn. It's another disjointed day for me. Leaving the office in the afternoon, going to the ballpark, and then I'm going to get home and work into the late hours of the night. And then when I'm working into the late hours of the night, the database replication that happens every night is going to happen. And I'm useful. Listen, if I can't refresh my database, I'm pretty much useless. So then I'm either going to go to bed or start watching baseball tape. And I don't know. I don't know yet. The cheap sticky note has already fallen off 4 times. And I haven't even left my parking lot yet of the office. This is going to be disastrous. And in all the commotion, what day is it? Thursday, I still have not uploaded Monday's show. I couldn't even remember if I'd done it or not. I had to look on the phone. There it sits. I used to be like real paranoid about losing a show. What if I lose my phone? And then I'll lose that show forever. So I still need to get these uploaded. One, I need to get the MP3 files uploaded onto the computer. And two, I need to get Monday's show uploaded from the phone to you. This is Thursday's show. It's a full show. Today's show title is Kanye and the Sower. Kanye and the Sower. I have a question in the inbox about Freemasons and Lucifer. And as always, we have the Bible chapter review. Before we get to it, a little update on my Goat Church website project. Whycrosspoint.com is up. The website domain has been purchased and a legitimate website is there. We're working on whyrockbridge.com. Easter is the 31st and I've contacted the sign company to get advertising for whycrosspoint.com. It's sort of a funny little situation happened. Like I've been eyeing this sign in Cartersville. It's on Highway 113 over by the Ace Hardware because it's the closest billboard, electronic billboard, to Crossville. And I have to buy an electronic billboard. Here's why. Traditional or paper billboards, what do you even call a billboard that's not electronic? Manual billboards? They are not as cost effective over the short run. If you want to buy one of those billboards, you first have to pay for the art, because somebody has to go paint it or print it out. So whatever the picture is, it has to be manufactured. And then somebody has to go take that giant picture, climb up the billboard, and then hang it up there like a wallpaperer on a skyscraper. And that costs a lot of money. So say that's $500 to do that. It's a flat cost. And then you're paying a monthly rate for the ad. By the way, that's called a flight. When you're buying outdoor advertising, it's called a flight. So if you have a one-month flight, it might be $500. So if you're going to have a one-month advertisement on a billboard, you pay $500 for the picture to be installed, and then you pay $500 for a month. That's $1,000. Well, if you don't have enough money for another month, it's twice as much as it would have been, right? Oh, I see another sign. Rent this sign, 770-713-8810. That might be my Y Rockbridge sign. So unless you have big money to leave that billboard up all year, it doesn't make sense, because the upfront costs of installation are too high on a traditional paper billboard. But if you get an electronic billboard, the installation cost is basically nothing. You send the guys at the advertising company, at the billboard company, a picture, a PDF, or a JPEG, or PNG, not a PDF, but a JPEG or a PNG that you make, and they can even make one for you. A lot of times they have graphic designers on staff that'll do it as part of the service, and boom, it's up there. And you can run it for 1 month or 1 year. And yeah, it's cheaper. The more you buy it, they'll give you a cheaper rate for more commitment, but that's the way to go for short-term advertising. So I'm going to get short-term advertising on this billboard if I can get the website squared away. I might do that tonight instead of watching baseball tape. If this baseball game is close and I feel like the coaches would benefit from a tape analysis, I'll do it. But if we blow them out and beat them really bad, I might delay that tape analysis till later. and try and get that website squared away. And that's another thing. If I want a paper billboard, I'd like a paper billboard. Okay, well, we got to wait for the advertisement that's on it to run out. And then we have to make your advertisement, which is, it might take 2 weeks to get it installed. I can get an electronic billboard up tomorrow how I want it. So that's another advantage of that. So as soon as I get this website up, I'd really like to get the advertisement up a week before Easter, which is Sunday. Sunday's a week before Easter. And then it would run after Easter. So you got the people making their where am I going to go to Easter decision. And I think they make that probably the week of Easter. I don't know. I'm going to go to church and ask somebody. I bet they know. I bet they've researched that. I don't know if the people decide a month beforehand or a week beforehand. But listen, the people making a church decision after a billboard, this sounds bad. I don't want them in my church. Don't come sit in my pew. Church doesn't matter to you because you're deciding to come once a year based on what you saw on a billboard. Go away. Like, yes, I want you to be evangelized, but you don't care about church. You don't care. So there's that. Anyway, I picked out the billboard, and then I was driving by the other day, and I saw an advertisement on it for Easter services. And it's First Baptist Church, and I said, hey, wait a minute, that's where I go to church. They have bought space on this billboard to advertise Easter services. And, everybody knows that I go to First Baptist. Like, in Cartersville, they know that. Because I ruffle a lot of feathers by doing things like making a website called whycrosspoint.com. This is not the only way I ruffle feathers. Think Freemasons. Everybody knows where I go to church. I don't want to say the whole town knows, but the people who are going to have a problem and complain, they know. They know I go to First Baptist. So, what's going to happen on that sign if all goes according to plan is, one, the First Baptist Easter advertisement sign is going to pop up, which I have nothing to do with. I don't have anything to do with that. And if they would have asked me, Seth, do you think we should get a billboard? I'd say no. I'd say no, churches should not be advertising their services via billboards. I'd say that's a waste of money. Everybody in town knows where the church is. We don't need to advertise with a billboard. That should, send that money to a missionary. Because all you're doing is saying, come here. But I didn't have anything to do with that. They just did it. They didn't know what I was doing. And then I'm about to buy this flight. I haven't bought it yet, so knock on wood, or it's knock on wood, what do you say? That's not the right time for knock on wood. What is it? Oh, Lord willing, if the creek don't rise, that's what you're supposed to say. If I get to, if everything goes well, like it's supposed to, I'm buying this flight, so it'll say, come to First Baptist, and then the next billboard will say, don't go to Crosspoint. Like, there's no way any church in town would ever buy a billboard that says, don't go to the other church. It's not like Burger King and McDonald's or Coke and Pepsi or Nike and Reebok ragging on each other. That's just not done. So people are going to see that, and they're going to see a First Baptist sign, and then they're going to see that and like, oh my gosh, did First Baptist buy a sign that says, don't go to Crosspoint? No, they had nothing to do with it. It's just a coincidence. It just so happens that I go there. It's completely coincidental. Don't blame them for it. And if you want to blame anybody for anything, blame Crosspoint for being Crosspoint. Okay? For being the seeker-sensitive goat church that it is. And yes, I know there's regenerate believing Christians that go there. I think sometimes people get the impression when I talk about this, like, we're being really insensitive, you must dislike them. No, I dislike the leadership because I think they're in on it. But there's a lot of well-meaning people there, and a lot of them are my neighbors and friends. I have people that I care about who are close to me that go there. And, I don't hate them. I'm not out to get them. But I just want to help everybody. So that's what's going on with the Y Crosspoint and Y Rockbridge project. And, you can donate to that project at my PayPal, at my Patreon, or at my Venmo. If you can't figure out how to do that on the internet, you can write to SethDunn88@gmail.com and ask me, and I will tell you. because these signs are expensive. I said earlier, I don't think churches should be buying outdoor advertisement saying, come here. It's, well, Seth, well, why are you buying outdoor advertising that says don't go somewhere? Well, my point is trying to communicate to the people who need to know, who are considering going to a certain church, like, this is not what Christianity is. Don't go there. Here's what Christianity is. Make a decision of where to go based on that. So that's a little different. In a way, it's a mission. And I'm sure the people saying, well, getting, you know, the people who buy a billboard for a church would say, well, it's a mission too. We're trying to get people to come to church on Easter when a lot of people make a decision to come. And then, you know, we're going to give a heavy, hard invitation, share the gospel, and maybe they'll get saved. That's part of the mission. It is part of the mission to evangelize the town. I just would not. When I think of what a billboard costs, and I think about what it costs to fund a missionary for an entire year, scarcity of resources, right? I'd fund the missionary. All right. So that's the Crosspoint spiel for today. Whycrosspoint.com, whyrockbridge.com spiel. By the way, the sign's not going to say, don't go to Crosspoint. It's just going to say whycrosspoint.com. People are going to go there thinking, like, oh, let me advertise Crosspoint for Easter. Like, nope. Bait and switch. All right. Not in a bad way. I think bait and switches are legal. Like, you know what a bait and switch is? Like, if Walmart says we have a 100-inch Sony television for $200, and they get there and say, oh, you know what? We don't have that. We're fresh and sold out of those, but we'll sell you this 20-inch TV for $200. Bait. With one product, switch them to another. And I'm pretty sure the FCC, the authorities, whoever the authorities are, I'm pretty sure the authorities banned that. So, very light usage on bait and switch. I'm not selling anything anyway. Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service, that is Zechariah, of the division of Abijah. Now that it happened while Zechariah was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offerings. Okay, we just show up at a building and then we go home. That's our religious life, mostly, for now. What did they do back then? So let's give some background here. There's different orders in the quote-unquote tribe of Levi. That's not really a tribe, the priestly class, the priests, the Levites. They have different orders, okay? They have different divisions. And these divisions would come at different times of the year and serve. It's almost like the Georgia legislature. So the state legislature of Georgia, you're elected for the year. So during your term, you're always a legislator. But the legislature only meets for a couple months a year. And when it does, they all come from all over Georgia. They live in Atlanta for a little while they meet, and then they go back home. It was sort of the same for these divisions. So the priestly divisions, they wouldn't necessarily, they might live there, but the individual families, they might not live in Jerusalem, they might live outside the city, but when it's time for that priest's division to serve in the temple, he goes and he performs his time of service. So during the rest of the year, they might have a different way of earning and living. They might have a different source of income. We call this modern day bivocation. So it was Zechariah's division's turn to be serving in the temple. So he was in Jerusalem with his division, and they're serving by performing the priestly functions. So remember, back in that day, you're going to have sacrifices and people burning incense and whatnot, and stuff like that. You're still involved in all the doing of things that we don't do anymore because it's been fulfilled in Christ. And there's only a certain number of jobs, so they had to assign the jobs by lot. So that Zechariah is burning incense here, this is considered an honor for him to get to do it. like he gets to. Not everybody gets to do this, and he may never get to do it ever again. Think about when you were in elementary school, and there's so many school days during the year, and one kid got to say the pledge, and one kid got to give the thought of the day. It was a big deal if you were the kid who got to say the pledge or the thought of the day that day. It's two kids a day. Not every kid gets to do it. And sort of the same way with what Zechariah is doing here. He has been chosen to burn incense before the Lord. So he's in the inner part of the temple where only the priests are allowed. And he's on his face burning incense. Now the Bible says here that the people, the whole multitude of people, were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. The incense represents the prayers going up before God. The prayers of who? The prayers of all the people. So Zechariah is praying, the people are praying, the incense there is symbolically burning before the Lord. That's what he is doing when the angel Gabriel appears before him, and Lord willing, we'll talk about that in verse 11 and onward tomorrow on the Christian Communion. Now let's go to the inbox. Do you have a question about Christian apologetics or theology? If you do, you can dial 470-315-0875. 470-315-0875, the Christian Commute is your theological roadside assistance. Or you can do like all but three people do and write to SethDunn88@gmail.com. That is SethDunn88@gmail.com. Here is today's question. It is the last question that I have, which means I don't have one for tomorrow, which means if somebody doesn't send me one, I'm going to have to talk about something else. I might do an anecdote. My anecdote might not be about theology at all, and it might not be interesting to you. Maybe I'll tell you why we shouldn't be stealing third base with nobody out in the top of the order up. Maybe I'll talk about that. But this one comes from Susan in Missouri. I think it's been a while since we heard from her. And her question is, who do Freemasons think Lucifer is? And why do they worship him? This is her question. Who do Freemasons think Lucifer is? And why do they worship him? And Susan, I bet if you asked most of the Freemasons around where I live in the Bible Belt who Lucifer is, they'd say the devil. And then if you asked why do you worship him, they'd say we don't worship the devil, we worship God. Or as they sometimes call him, the grand architect of the universe. So there is, I don't know if it's rumor, theory, or conspiracy out there. By the way, I have an old stale Dr. Pepper in my car and I'm about to drink some. My throat was kind of dry. Ooh, the pollen's bad. Talking a lot dries it out. I'm going to finish off this Dr. Pepper. It's 3 days old. I got it at the ballpark. Ugh. Did I get this Monday or Tuesday? I can't remember what day I got it, but it's horrible. Oh, hold on. Let's see if this water's lukewarm. Oh, that's yesterday's tea water from Scott's Walk-Up Barbecue. This is like apocalypse. What do I have to drink in the apocalypse? I think I can have a warm Fanta in here too. There is a conspiracy out there that if you get to the end of the, or rumor, that if you get to the end of all the Masonic degrees in the Scottish Rite, not the York Rite, in the Scottish Rite, I think there's 32 degrees, there's a 33, the final one's an honorary degree. Like you don't go through memory work to get it. Gone through all the others, you've been a Mason for so long, you've served the lodge, they give you that honorable 33rd or 34th degree. But there's this idea that after you go through Masonry and after you read Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike, that you find out at the end that really Satan is God and that's who you've been worshiping the whole time. I have no idea if that's true, Susan. That's like something you'd read on the internet. I don't have a copy of Morals and Dogma. Morals and Dogma, by the way, people tend to think of it as sort of like the Freemason Bible, but it's not binding. In the southern jurisdictions of Freemasonry, what Albert Pike says is like taken as authoritative, but in the northern jurisdictions, it's not as much. So Morals and Dogma is one prominent Freemason's opinion on the craft and on morals and dogma. And some people put stock into it and some don't. But I've never read it. I don't have a copy of it. And I don't know if at the end that he says Lucifer is God. I don't know. I don't know that. And listen, just like you'll have a lot of Muslims who've never read the whole Quran or a lot of Christians who've never read the whole Bible, you'll have Freemasons who've never read Morals and Dogma. And you'll have Freemasons who go through the first, second, and third degree to become a Master Mason in Blue Lodge, and they never do anything else. They never go through either the Scottish Rite or the York Rite. So for these different degrees, the York Rite is the quote-unquote Christian side of Freemasonry, you're told. And I don't know, they got different names in the rites. Because it's secretive, I don't really know what they study in each rite. But in certain degrees, like in one degree, you're supposed to learn the name Jabulon for God, which I think is blasphemous. That's in the Scottish rite. I want to say it's 7 or 9. But if certain websites will tell you that after you've gone through the second degree, you learn the real secret, and now you know that Lucifer is God. I don't know that that's what they really tell you. And I'm pretty sure that 99.9% of Freemasons around here would reject that idea. So, I don't think that they worship Satan. I don't think that's an accurate rumor, Susan. And it may be true, but I don't know. And here's the thing. In my study of Freemasonry, in my polemic against Freemasonry, I don't get into the minutiae of the 15th, 20th, 25th, and 30th degree. And all the conspiracies about the New World Order, and is it really secret devil worship? I don't get into all that. Because I think in the end of the day, that might damage my credibility among readership as a whole or Freemasons as a whole. And I don't need to get into all that. Because as I've said before, and as I've published in my book and in an article, the first degree of Freemasonry, to even enter into the first degree of Freemasonry, you have to sin against God. And it's generally very widely known what is done in the Entered Apprentice, that's the first degree. Fellow Craft, that's the second degree. And Master Mason, that's the third degree. The ritual with Hiram Abiff. Those are the ones that everybody does that are more well known, as secret as they are. And that, in and of itself, to participate in those, is sinful. So Freemasonry is wicked whether they worship the devil or not. And by the way, do you know that your religion or your practice could be sinful even though it purports to worship God? Because not only are we supposed to worship God, we're supposed to worship God how He says. Like there's a certain way you're supposed to do it. Like if you read in the Old Testament what happened to Aaron's sons when they burned strange fire, like God killed them. Because that's not how God said to do it. God's holy, and we're supposed to worship Him in the way He says to worship Him. We Americans are big on religious freedom and religious conscience. Yeah, we have that right in the Constitution, but you don't have a right from God to worship Him any way He says, or no, I'm sorry, any way you say or you feel. It's the way He says to do it, the biblical way. So, for Freemasons to erect a Temple of Solomon and say they're worshiping the grand architect of the universe and appoint a chaplain and have the Bible as the furniture of the lodge, because a temple is a temple is a temple, they're blaspheming God. You're not allowed to erect your own temple and appoint a worshipful master over it. That's wrong. You can't say that you raise a temple to God in the name of the Holy Saints John. The Holy Saints John, who are holy and are saints. By the way, holy saint is repetitive. Hagios is the Greek word for holy. It's also where we get our word for saint. A saint's just a holy one. But the Holy Saints John, who are holy saints, they didn't tell you to do that. Those are the apostles of Jesus, or at least John is, not John the Baptist. But you got John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, I think, and his herald, and then the Apostle John, who's one of Jesus' not only his best friends, but an apostle appointed by him. Don't you go around saying you're raising a temple in those guys' name, raising a temple of the Lord that's supposed to be like the Temple of Solomon. Listen, God didn't even let David build him a temple. It's called Solomon's Temple because Solomon was allowed to build it. So Freemasonry is wicked because they purport to worship God, but it's in the wrong way, and it's a sinful way. It's one of the many reasons why it's wicked. So I never have to get in down the rabbit hole to find the ancient conspiracy, though in the end, they worship the devil. If you are a church-going Christian and that you're a Freemason, you are a syncretist, and you are in sin, and you're just as sinful as the people who put pagan idols in the temple in the Old Testament. That's syncretism. And you're sinning. So I know that all the guys who are Freemasons sitting around in the Baptist church, if you said, who's Lucifer? They'd say the devil. And they'd say, if you worship him, they'd say, no, I don't worship the devil. He's bad. That's probably what they'd say if you asked them. But go ahead. You can go ahead and ask a Freemason if he worships the devil. See how that goes. It's a secret society. They might lie to you or refuse to tell you. I don't know. I mean, you didn't ask this, but there's debate among biblical scholars on whether or not Lucifer is really the devil's name. Like, or is it just a King James thing? Like, is his name really Lucifer? Like, Gabriel's name is Gabriel and Michael's name is Michael. I think Lucifer means light bearer. And the devil is an angel of light, the Bible says. So, who knows? But commonly in our culture, how about this? Commonly in our culture, we accept, whether it's right or wrong, that the devil's name is Lucifer. His title would be Satan, the accuser. That's what he does. Devil means slanderer. That's another thing we call him. I don't know if his name's Lucifer. Freemasons probably have some story on that. You have to check. So, in my opinion, to answer your question, I would say Freemasons believe that Lucifer is the devil and that almost none of them worship him. That's what I would say. But guess what? Whether you actively worship the devil or not, if you don't belong to Christ, you belong to the kingdom of darkness. And who's the prince of the power of the air over the kingdom of the darkness? It's the devil. Alright, speaking of things like apostasy and denying Christ, let's get to Kanye West. If you guys remember a long time ago, Kanye West put out a Christian album. Like, he wrote a bunch of Christian songs and put it out on an album called Jesus is King. I think he might have done two of them. Everybody was like, oh my gosh, Kanye got saved. And people were like thinking, like, you know, Kanye West is sort of a weird dude. He used to go around calling himself Jesus. He was a pretty blasphemous person, as music stars go. They generally tend to be a pretty blasphemous lot compared to other segments of society. But Kanye was starting to listen to, like, reformed exegetical preachers. Oh wow, Kanye West he got saved, and he's going to be a Christian, he's going to put out Christian albums. And other people are like, let's just wait this out. Because people tend to get excited when a celebrity is, oh, a celebrity's gotten saved. What a big deal. A celebrity has found Jesus. I remember one time Matthew McConaughey was reading The Case for Christ. I think he was reading it at the gym. Oh my gosh, Matthew McConaughey's reading The Case for Christ. Matthew McConaughey's from Texas. He's been going to church his whole life. Of course he's reading the case for Christ. Just because he's a Hollywood star, just because you're an actor doesn't mean you're some kind of pagan unbeliever naturally. Matthew McConaughey's reading The Case for Christ. How many Texans have read The Case for Christ? I mean, if you just listen to Matthew McConaughey talk on talk shows and stuff, he just talks about going to church because that's what you do in Texas. He's a Bible Belt guy. I'm sure he, Matthew McConaughey believes in God, believes in Jesus. I'll leave it up to God to know if he's regenerate. But it's like, oh, a celebrity has read, done this, looked at this, or said this. Chris Pratt thanked Jesus in a Nickelodeon speech. Okay. Lots of people love Jesus. So, you know, I guess the news was that Kanye was just a particularly bad person. Not that we're not all bad people, but he was a particularly bad person. And he's a good musician, and now he's putting out some good music. I listened to that album. I thought it was okay. But then you saw, if you paid attention, Kanye is having his own Sunday services. He's selling $250 hoodies with a Christian theme. He's hanging out with Joel Osteen. And if you pay attention, then he got divorced. You pay attention to his life. It didn't seem like his conversion was real. And he is officially apostatized. He's declared that he's his own God. And God didn't answer his prayers. I guess he doesn't think Jesus is king anymore. So what happened? The same thing that's happened with thousands of other people, if not millions, throughout history, just like the Bible said it would happen in the parable of the sower. Let's go review the parable of the sower. What's the parable of the sower? There is a guy walking along the road sowing seeds. Some of the seeds fall by the road. Some of the seeds fall along the thorns. Some of the seeds fall along the rocky ground. And some fall in the good soil. The seeds that fall on the road never get down in the soil. The birds come and eat them. The seeds that fall on the rocky ground spring up quickly, but the plants quickly die because the sun burns them out and they don't have a good root system to withstand the heat of the sun and need water. The seeds among the thorns sprout up, but they can't sprout very well because they're constricted by the thorns and they don't yield any produce. The seeds yield produce, which is more seeds, which makes more plants and more seeds and more seeds. But what about the seed on the good soil where it gets in the good soil and it grows and it reproduces and it yields 100 times over? And Jesus explains this parable and he says, the seeds in the good soil, that's who hears the gospel and they really believe and it takes and they keep on believing and endure. You know, those are the people making disciples. The seed on the road, those are the people who never understand the gospel message to begin with because the devil steals the understanding from them. But the seed in the rocky soil, those are the people who hear the word and they receive it with joy. And at once, they're happy about it and they're preaching on it. And I'm paraphrasing. They're preaching on it. They're saying they believe. They're saying they're a Christian. But they last about a month. And then they're back to how they were before. And then what's the seed among the thorns? It's the people who believe the message, but they're too concerned with the things of the world, like, you know, money and women and power. And their faith, they never yield anything out of their faith because their faith is subservient or lower than in their list of priorities than all the things they idolize from the world, like money, sex, power. So there are a lot of people, and we all know these people. Is your brother on a church kick? Seems like different, just a different type of dope sick. Better off to teach a dog a card trick than try to have a point and make it real. We've known these people. They've got some problem in their life. Kanye's was, he's got a lot of problems. One of his was pornography, but he's got a lot of problems. They're on drugs. They drink too much. They have, like, the life of Steve Flockhart before he supposedly got saved. And then they get religion. They get church. They turn it all around. And a lot of them just have a new thing to be obsessed over, and they get tired of that, and they move on to something else. They don't have a firm foundation, and the persecutions and pressures of the world burn them up. So here you have Kanye West, whose apostasy was very public. Most people's apostasy is not publicized because most people are not celebrities. And most people don't get, you know, get saved and then start writing million selling albums, right? Most people don't. But they don't endure, just like the Bible says they don't endure. Now, I don't think Kanye's thing was money. He already had plenty of money. But I think it was the world. He didn't get what he wanted. He said, well, my prayers didn't get answered, so I don't believe. He says, well, I'm my own God. Well, are you answering your prayers yet? Now, frankly, if I may diagnose somebody as mentally ill from afar, I think Kanye West is mentally ill. He may have bipolar disorder, among other things. And crazy people are going to say crazy things. And crazy people are going to think they got saved but didn't really get saved. And they go back to being crazy. Some people, like your bipolar, you get saved during a manic episode, manic depressive, and you're like, ooh, I'm with the world for Christ. And then your manic episode is over. And you're like, oh, never believed anyway. Why do I bring this up? Because celebrities are more important than others? No, it doesn't really make a hill of beans of a difference, okay? I bring this up to say, look, here is a very obvious demonstration of exactly what Jesus said would happen with regards to certain converts. They get excited about it, but it doesn't take. And that's why when anybody gets saved, we should be cautiously rejoicing. We need to see if it takes. And we try to disciple that person and see if there's real life change or if it's just something different from the mire they were already in. And I think Christianity in our society is often offered as a remedy or an alternative to the mire somebody is already in. Well, I used to be drunk, and then I found Jesus. I got divorced, and then I found Jesus. I had a bad time, and then I found Jesus. Well, let me tell you this. There's a lot of people out there who have a really terrible life, a really terrible outlook. Maybe they're lonely. Maybe they're failures. Maybe they're mentally ill. And if you took away Jesus from them, if you took away their religion, and it could be any religion, if you took away their religion, they'd just be just destitute metaphysically. And they already are. What am I trying to say? It's like they just could barely go on. Some of those people are legitimately saved, and some of them aren't. But if Christianity is just a solution to your worldly problem, you're doing it wrong. It's a solution to sin. And yes, sin causes worldly problems, but it's not just an alternative lifestyle. It's turning your life over to Christ. And here's where I'll end the show and then play the gospel. If I get to ever do my theme music again, what's my wife say when I play the theme music? All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.